Here's some Stoke FM news for Wednesday, May 31st, 2023. I'm Megan Dooling. CP Rail, logging, and hydro are some of the industries that founded the town of Revelstoke. Not too far south, in the West Kootenays, a silver rush defined early industries. And at the end of the 1800s, mules were hauling early gasoline engines, piece by piece, to mines at 7,000 feet of elevation. There are a few old men kicking around the region who have spent their lives hauling the old machines down to their shops, bringing them back to life, and then hauling them to car shows around the Kootenays.
So this is a hot tube ignition. So it's an open flame heating a little hollow tube in there, which is screwed into the combustion chamber. So as the charge gets pushed up by the piston, it reaches the hot metal and ignites it.
Jordan Meeker is known as the slow can kid.
And as you can see, I've got a bit of a drip right now on that one thread, and that fuel is accumulating down there. And I actually had her light up on me once in the yard. I was running it just to listen to it run and screwing around.
He's a collector and is passionate about old engines.
And it runs on the same principle as your automobile or your lawnmower or any gasoline engine you would run today. That hasn't changed, the four cycle system. From about 1897, 96, 97.
Meeker is now 61, and he's been passionate about collecting and restoring since he was a teen. When he was a kid on the coast, he'd dig for old glass bottles during the day and read history books about towns in the Kootenays at night. When he was 18, his pal's dad got him a job with CP Rail. That was the start of 13 years traveling the rails in Western Canada.
And so he got sent to Nelson in the spring of 81, and blew my mind, and I got to go up to the, you know, hike up to the mines and look around.
Now Meeker is an electrician by trade, and he spends his spare time looking for more engines.
That's all I do. I work, and as soon as the summer, I'm getting the quad ready, and I hike, and I take the quad, and I go up in the mountains, and every spare minute I got from June through till the snow comes down in September or October, that's what I do, all over this whole region. The triangle here, Caslow, New Denver, Nelson, we do that. I do the Weimar District. I do the Lardo District, Camborne and Trout Lake. And I started back in 1983, I was able to get mobile here. And I got my first four-wheel drive, so I was able to get in the bush and then hike up even further. And that's why these survived, because you can't get to them. There was no cat road to this, otherwise they would have scrapped it out. So that's what's I've got several super rare engines that were all at high altitude, and then we drag them out by hand, piece by piece. So, yeah, it's interesting. Like I say, 40 years, yeah, and my knees are shot now, so it's getting tougher.
You're a bit of a collector.
Just a little bit, yeah. Well, iron artifacts, cast iron artifacts, blacksmith artifacts, glass, photographs, paperwork, maps, you know, it's all related.
Now Meeker has substantial amounts of artifacts that tell the stories of people who lived in the Kootenays when it was first settled. There's a lot of mining in this area, right?
Oh, yeah. That's why we're here. That's why this town exists. That's the only reason this town would be here. Otherwise, it'd just be a tourist destination from the turn of the century. But no, this is all mining country. And Caslow was a major center for getting into the silver rush at Sandon and that area. So, yeah, it's all silver lead, all galena and zinc. I kind of know a bit about it. I know quite a few of the mines. I've been to all the big ones, and I've been to a majority of the small ones. There's a couple small ones I haven't been to, but they're getting harder and harder to get to because the trails are grown in and you have to find them, and some of them don't show up in the maps anymore.
Just the old abandoned mines, you mean?
Yeah, they're generally abandoned. I mean, they're abandoned in the sense that nobody's doing anything with it. You know, people have walked away from it, but they've passed down, they've been grandfathered in with crown grants. So technically, a vast majority of the early mines here, the properties are still owned, people are still paying taxes on them, they still have the rights to the, some of them have surface rights, but most of them have the right, of course, underground rights. So of course, you got to find out what's fully abandoned, what's reverted back to the crown, and what's still owned by somebody. So that gets a little tricky, because you got to do some research. But a lot of this stuff is owned by corporations in Toronto and Calgary and in the States, and it's a bunch of lawyers sitting on an estate. So we don't get too worried about that, because all you do is you kick up a hornet's nest when you phone these guys and ask them if you can get a piece of equipment off a property, and they have no idea what you're talking about, right? They don't even know where you are. So generally, if it's fully abandoned and it's reverted to Crown, we, you know, it's all busted up in pieces lying there. Yeah, you drag it out, put it back together. What else are you going to do? You can't leave it there. So, yeah.
After finding his first engine scattered in a tailings pile high in the mountains, it took Meeker years before he had it running. That's because he had to save up $10,000 for the restoration. The work itself only took a few months.
It just is a very expensive hobby. And engines are expensive. I mean, if you want to buy this engine, if it went to auction, it's anywhere between $20,000 and $30,000 on a auction day. So you're investing in it, but you're not going to sell it because you love it. So you've tied up all this money. And like I say, when I tip over, you know, I told the wife, well, have an auction, you know, send it down to the auction house in the States, because nobody here wants to spend that kind of money. Canadian collectors, you know, they're not serious. The guys in the States are serious. They don't mess around. They got $1 million collections, and they're willing to spend $200,000 on an engine because they want it. Up here, you can hardly give them away. And then everybody says, well, we want to keep it in British Columbia because it's local history. But nobody wants to step up to the plate, right? So it's kind of a conundrum. But like I say, I don't do it for the money. I do it because I love them. And I love bringing them out to the shows where the general public gets to see it.
Meeker is bringing history to life.
And once you get the bug on old engines, there's nothing like it in the world, because this thing, as you see in the pictures, it was all beat to hell, rusted up, beaten up, and to bring it back to life is a really great thing. The first exhaust it's like heaven. It's like perfume. So yeah, once you've fired one up that's been dead for 50, 60, or 100 years, it's a joy, and so now you need another. The hiking's starting to get harder and harder. I'm 61 now, so it's getting tough to go 3,000 straight up and do it all day. So yeah, I'm slowing down a little bit, but yes, yes. You never know. Might find another. Well, we're gonna go look for another engine in a mine over up above Cody Sand this year. We've been looking last year. Tried to dig a portal open. It kept sloughing. We couldn't get it open. But we're gonna try to come in from a different angle. We believe there's an engine in the mine. And we'd like to see what it is and see if it's there and if it hasn't been scrapped or destroyed, and see if we can get it out. So that's the adventure this year again. We're going to put some time in on that, and then hike to some small mines up in the, well, Coffee Creek area here. I'm going to try to hike up to a mine up in there if I can find a way, because it's pretty bushy. So we'll see. Anyhow, there it is.
Reporting for Stoke FM in Revelstoke, I'm Megan Dooling.